I want to chat with you a little bit. As many of you know, we're looking at the book of Proverbs, and as I started preparing, God just, I've never studied the life of Solomon. I've taught messages or portions of scripture, but to really look at his life and wed it up with a few words, like we talked about last week, wisdom. And that's where God gave me that good morning wisdom. And all I can tell you guys is every morning, it's just, it comes to me. I can't not wake up now. I've become, it's a habit, good morning wisdom. Because see, when you walk with God, you walk with wisdom. And God is doing just this radical thing in my life right now where he's prompting me. And like I want to do something, I'll literally feel him say, don't. Don't go there and don't say that. Don't go, don't do that. Like I was at the office today and I was going to kind of run around and do some things and I felt the Holy Spirit literally say, go home. I want you to go study. And I was sensitive to the prompting. You know when he prompts you, it's like a feeling in your gut or in your heart or your head and you just, you know it's him. His voice doesn't sound like anyone else's. And so I think because I've been studying instruction, I'm trying to heed his voice. When he tells me to do something, course correction, go here, listen. And the more you learn to listen, the more you'll hear him. Because you make wise decisions when you listen to Holy Spirit's promptings. He knows our path. He knows the doors that he's going to open for us. He knows how to close doors that you shouldn't go through. So I want to walk with you a little bit on how to hear instruction. So that's one of the key words we're going to look at in the life of Solomon. I thought this was a great, I want to start with this story. This is so good if you've not heard it. It's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about the fact that it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. That's good. I'll post that, because many of you are going to want to read that again. And what happened was nobody was listening to instruction. Somebody wasn't, anybody wasn't, nobody. They weren't listening. And so Holy Spirit began showing me this story with Solomon. And let me give you a backstory. We talked a little bit 2 weeks ago about wisdom and how Solomon came in a dream and God said to him, ask me for anything. Ask me for anything. And he had the insight to ask Ashley for discernment, which will be one of the words that we look at next in 2 weeks. Discernment, how to judge the people. God, if you don't show me what's right and wrong, I'm going to make decisions on my own and they're not going to be right. You know when you make them on your own and then you go, ooh, that was not a good decision. Because a discerning spirit, God didn't prompt you to do it. You acted on your own flesh or your thoughts or your emotions. And so we asked for discernment. And God said, since you asked for discernment, I'm going to give you wisdom with discernment. You will be the wisest king of all the earth. And I will show you how to make judgments and calls and do things. So that's the story of Solomon when he starts. An interesting part of the story prior to that, though, was that David, his father, so many of you know that King David was the king of Israel, and he was a man of war. If you've ever studied the Old Testament, he would go and he would fight for a land, and he would fight for people, and there was what the Bible calls blood on his hands. And it's a really cool story. He had made his way with Israel back to Jerusalem, okay, back to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us he built this big, beautiful home for himself, a gorgeous, beautiful home for himself. And he says one day while he was in his house, he looked out the window and he saw the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, that was where Jesus, where God was. Moses gave the instructions for the Ark, and they would carry it around through the wilderness. Remember, they had, that God kind of was in the Ark of the Covenant, right? David's in this big, fat house, and he's going, oh my gosh, I built myself a big house, and I haven't even built one for the Ark of the Covenant of our God. I'm going to build God a house. A noble thing. I'm going to build God a house. So he says, good thing. Now listen, he says to Nathan the prophet. So the prophets were like the mouthpieces of God. When a prophet would come into town and say something, everyone would listen because if it was a prophet from God, it was going to happen. That's how you can know in today's world, if a prophet says something and it doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. That's a good word, guys, because we have a lot of false prophets in the world today. In the word of God, a prophet gets his word from God, and they're never wrong when it comes from God. So he says to Nathan, the prophet, hey, I want to build God a fat house. I want to build him this place that we can all go in and worship. The Ark of the Covenant can be in it. All the people can go worship. And so actually Nathan says, sounds good, but let me pray about it. He begins to pray, and the Bible says that God came to him, and he said, David will not build my house. David has bloodshed on his hands. My house will be built, but it will be built by his son Solomon. Solomon is a man of peace and wisdom, and he will be the next king after David, and he will build my house. Now, this is really good. Listen, here is the prophet, but here's the king. The prophet who has a word from God, there's a spiritual message in here for somebody listening. The prophet who has a word from God has to go to the king and say, you can't build the house. God says, you can't build the house. You have blood on your hands. But your son Solomon will build the house. Your son will sit on the throne, and he will be a king of peace. And I was reading through the scripture, and I thought, isn't it interesting how if Nathan had not listened to the instruction of God and said what he needed to say, and listen, there's times where God prompts him in my spirit, and I've got to be, we're going to talk about it in our life applications, I've got to be careful when I give someone a word. If I'm going to be spiritual and say, I believe God gave me a word for you. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that from me because I'm really careful about, I mean, I don't know that God's ever really given me a word for someone. I might feel promptings. I might have some wisdom. I might have some insight. I might say, I sense this. I don't believe I have the gift of a prophet, so God's never really given me a word to tell someone. But be careful before you ever go to somebody and say, God told me to tell you this. You will be held accountable, the Bible tells us. But when God tells you something and you know it's from God and you need to share it, you need to share it. That's also the truth. So here's this prophet, and he has to go to the king, a man of war, bloodshed on his hands. I'm not so sure. I want to go tell him you can't build this fat house for God that you want to build. David had enough wisdom that he listened to the prophet, and then he had to tell his son, Solomon, you're going to build the fat house. Now, I can only imagine how hard it was for Solomon. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, to walk in the shoes of a mighty warrior, still to this day, one of the favorite kings. If you've ever been to Israel and you've gone to David's tomb, you know, David is still the king of Israel in a lot of people's minds. I mean, Solomon, we know, is the wisest and, you know, wrote, God inspired him to write Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And if you think about it, those three books, which we also will look at, Song of Solomon was in his young days when he was deeply in love. And if you read it, you're like, this guy was hot over this woman, right? You know, he just got some sexy stuff in there. And that's the Song of Solomon. He's singing, he's bathing. Are there any men in here? I mean, first time I read the word breast in the Bible, I'm like, you know, he's intimate. And it's this beautiful love story of Solomon with the Song of Solomon. He's singing to his bride, his beloved. And it's such a beautiful picture of Christ and his girls. It's such a beautiful picture that he brings me in and he loves me and he woos me. And every woman that has a need in her life right now, read Song of Solomon, because that's what the king says to you. You're his bride. He will be to you what no man can ever be to you. And Solomon is writing this under the inspiration of God, and it's a beautiful, it's just this intimacy. And then he writes Proverbs with much wisdom, and we read every, I just encourage every woman to read a proverb a day and just get in the habit. We know there's 31, so you can read one a day. Just read through the Proverbs. There's just so much wisdom. And then we'll see later when we study in a few weeks, you're going to see Ecclesiastes, which is a book of much sorrow. And he finds out in his old age, life isn't quite what I thought it was. And he becomes a little cynical and he becomes a little sad. And what I want us to learn, ladies, is we don't have to become cynical and sad. I don't know which stage you're in right now. When you're in this intimacy with God, this wooing of him with your spirit, you can't get enough of him, you're madly in love with him. Or you're strong and you're speaking with wisdom and confidence and you're a powerful woman and everything that comes out of you is wisdom. Or if you've stepped into the cynical boat, we've been there, done that, tried it, God didn't come through, I'm angry. Always think of those three stages of Solomon. And a lot of times I'll ask myself, where am I in the stage? Am I in this wooing? Am I in this wisdom? Or am I just cynical? So we see this man's life. So David comes to him and he says to him, Solomon, you're going to build the temple for God. Now we have to know that Solomon grew up in this home where he had to hear his dad say, this is the one thing I want to do. He lived in this fat house. He saw, I mean, if you've ever pulled up and you can actually pull up what they believe the house looked like, that was David's house and then the temple. But here's what, now listen, here's what he did. And this is the part that really just kind of got me. He said, I'm going to give you the instruction on how to build the house. And I read that and I thought, well, you know, if God said, I'm supposed to build the house, Dad, what makes you think you're supposed to tell me how to build the house? Fair question, right? I mean, Solomon, seriously, like, Dad, God passed you up. The prophet already told everybody you got blood on your hands. He's not using you. He's giving me the wisdom. I'm not so sure I want those plans. He could have very easily not received instruction. Are you with me? And when I was reading this, the Lord said to me, do you receive instruction? How well do you receive instruction? Have you come to a place where you say, at this age and stage of the game, been doing this long enough, I know how to do it? Or am I open to instruction? I've been studying this for 2 weeks, and I can promise you right now, every day for the last 2 weeks, I have said, Holy Spirit, bring someone that can speak into my life. You all know that I say all the time, smart people, what? Surround themselves with smarter people. There are many of you that can speak into me. You can help me in areas and arenas I don't know anything about. I don't know how to maneuver. And if I get out of my the will of God, or if I'm not walking in alignment with God, I need you as my sisters to come up and put your arm around me and go, baby girl, what's going on? Just like that. All right? Man, what's going on? How are you doing? Look, I tell people all the time, we had a great time with these staff that were here this week and some great worship leaders, and we had them to our house. And I just sat down and I mentored and loved on him. I asked Sarah and Soraya to pray over the worship leader, because you know what? We don't pray over our leaders enough. We don't encourage our leaders enough. They have to give and give and give. I need you to pray for me. I need you to encourage me, but I also need you to correct me if I get out of line. Just, do you hear me in that? Wisdom will tell you to do that. And I'm going to tell you the right way in instruction before you start pointing one finger to me. You got four back to yourself. I'm going to give you some instruction before you give me instruction. All right? All right? So do you see how Solomon had to listen? Now, what I literally want to do, because I think the scripture is so good, and I always believe in reading the word of God, and then I'm going to give you life applications, and I'm going to give you some points. If you have a Bible, hopefully you have it on your phone. I love the Bible app, but go to 1 Chronicles 28, and it's several scriptures, but I want you to see it because I believe the word of God is very clear in receiving instruction. And write that word down, get a pen, always bring a pen when you come, ladies. If you're new, you'll hear me say, Holy Spirit will say things I never did. Holy Spirit will speak to you with what you need to hear, all right? Because he knows what you need, and he loves you, and he's going to whisper in your ear what you need to hear. So 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 21. And Solomon said, my son, so he pulls in Solomon, my son, I charge you to acknowledge your father's God and to serve him with an undivided heart and a willing mind. Now, first of all, what I like to do in my Bible is words that pop out like that, I like to circle them, I like to go back and do cross references. So I look and I go, look, he's commanding his son to serve God with an undivided heart and a willing mind. I could stop right there and preach on that, girlfriend. I need an undivided mind. I need to have my mind set on God, not tossed to and fro, like the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine that comes along. I need a steadfast mind. I've got to know, you know, we're doing a fast right now, and many of you are fasting with us. I tell people all the time, get up in the morning and know what you're going to do through the day. I don't eat until sun sets, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever, it's usually 6 o'clock. I don't eat. So therefore, I've just made a decision on my fast. I don't eat till then. So I don't have to wonder when my stomach growls, can I eat? No, because I've made a decision. I have a steadfast mind on my fast. When you make a decision to succeed, you will succeed. It starts with a decision to succeed. Does that make sense? So he told him a willing mind and an undivided heart. He knows all of our thoughts and desires. Underline it, girlfriend. It's right there in the Bible. He says, hey, honey, I know all of your thoughts and I know all of your desires. If you go to him, he will accept you. But if you turn away from him, he will abandon you forever. Now, you know, when I read that, I thought, that's pretty strong. But I believe that David, this is David, his father, I believe David is referencing Saul. Do you remember King Saul that came before King David? And then remember God turned his back on Saul because Saul got into witchcraft and divination and he cursed God, right? And so I believe that David says, look, and I don't, the Bible also tells us that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So understand this word means if you want to be alone, God's going to leave you alone. Okay? Now, I said 2 weeks ago, and I believe this is true, every time I kind of get one of these up in God's face, look, I'm tired of this God, and I start to take 3 steps away from him, I do one of these. Because I always want to make sure he's following me. I want to make sure I'm not getting too far from him. And that's the God of the universe. Where do you go from him? He will never leave you nor forsake you or abandon you. But he is as close to you as you want him to be. That's just the truth. He will not force his way into you. He will course correct you. He will love you. He'll even gently prompt you when you think he doesn't even know your name. But I believe that David understood, and he's saying to Saul, don't you leave, or he's saying to Solomon, don't you leave and turn your back like Saul did. He says, you must realize that the Lord has chosen you to build his holy temple. Now do it and do it with determination. Do it and do it with determination. What do you need to be determined to do right now? Some of you have dreams and visions and ideas and businesses. Some of you, it's marriage or children. Girlfriend, be determined. The other day I was doing my prayer walk, and you know, I mean, I'm such a mom, so it's my children or it's my husband or it's my ministry, and I'm walking, and God said simply, I love you, Tammy. Don't worry about Phil. I'll take care of it. It's not about him. When it comes to God, get under the umbrella with him. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better pastor to you. I'm going to be better everything when I'm good with God and who I am. Is that resonating with anybody? Start with you. He loves you. He loves you so much. And when I get filled up with him, I'm a different woman. I walk with confidence and boldness and peace and joy and love. I walk with things I can't walk alone without him. And he's trying to instruct his son. Instruction. This is instruction. Listen, 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 listen. He says to his son, instruction. Listen, Solomon. Listen to all the mistakes I made. I want to help you not to make them. So he goes on, he says, David gave Solomon the plans for the temple, for the storeroom. Now, this is really, really good. Now, listen, David wanted to build this so much that he had every detail from the Old Testament, from what God gave Moses. But if you read through Samuel and you read through some of the other books of the Old Testament, you'll see that David literally had the gold stockpiled, the silver stockpiled. He had everything to build the temple ready for God to say, do it. And God says, you won't do it. And everything that you put aside to do, you're going to give to your son to do. Now, this spoke and resonated with me because I have three children. And I want to empower my children to give them everything to be successful. Right? I want to prepare them. But God's not letting me do it. I can only give them the skills to do it. David died. He didn't get to see that temple. But he left the legacy for Solomon to build the temple. Does that make sense to you guys? So you got to say, what's my silver and what's my gold and what are all these things that I'm giving to my kids? Sorry, we're live streaming. Hi. Sorry. I heard all that bouncing. What are the things, guys, that you're storing up for your kids? Now let's go on and read the scripture. We got to get moving here. He also gave him the plans that he had in mind for the courtyards and for the rooms and for the storerooms and for the temple equipment and the gifts dedicated to the temple. David also gave him the plans for organizing the priests and the Levites to perform their duties and to do the work in the temple. And don't ever, guys, rush through the scripture when you're reading this. Try to stop and process what's being said. God put this word here for us to read. I want you to see the detail that David went through to give to his son Solomon to build this temple that we all know today. Has anybody ever been to Israel? And you know, of course, I believe that temple is going to be going back there. That's what I believe the Bible tells us, that it's right there in Jerusalem. It's right now, a mosque sits on the very Dome of the Rock where the temple that Solomon built was right there. And I believe it will be again. All right, but the detail with which this was built. He also gave him the instruction as how much pure gold was to be used for making the forks and the bowls and the jars, how much silver and gold in making dishes, how much pure gold in making the altar on which the incense was burned and making the chariot wing creatures. Remember the cherubim that you see? He told him exactly how much gold to make those wings. He gave him every detail and every instruction. How detailed instruction are you giving your children? Ladies, we're messing up, I'm sorry. We're letting everybody teach our kids but us. We're putting our kids in every kind of class to train them up. David had every specific detail for Solomon on exactly how to build this temple. Your children are your children, Raise up your children. Sit down with your children. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to sing. Teach them. My little granddaughter, 5 years old, I just FaceTimed with her, and she began to tell me about the planets. She named every planet. She says, Gammy, I'm learning algebra. I said, how do you spell that, Riley? My son, this is his thing. He's brilliant. You know, so he's going to make sure his kids think. And I said, my son sits down with him and he's teaching these things. All right. Oh, that noise is, but you guys hear it? Did me? Does that make sense though? Do you see how David, when you read this, it's so detailed. To the ounce of gold, to the ounce of silver. He told him exactly what to do for bowls and jars. And then he goes on and he says, and for the covenant, where the cherubim were, King David said, all of this is contained in the plan written according to the instructions which the Lord himself gave me for you to carry out. Now stay with me. King David said to his son Solomon, listen, write this down. It's so good. Be confident and be determined. Can somebody give me a glass of wine? Thank you. Be confident and be determined. Can you say that with me? Be confident and be determined. Is there anything in your life right now you're confident and determined about? Amen. Is there? I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't know. Right now, I have a couple things. Confident means I know it's going to happen. All right, I'm launching a big book that's coming out. We're working on crazy, like getting it out there. We got all kinds of strategies. I am confident. Ashley, listen. I am confident this is going to be, she's doing it, girlfriend, a New York bestseller. Can anybody be confident with me on this book? Anybody? Come on, give me something. If I'm not confident, it's not going to happen. I am determined. I am working hard. I am sowing. I'm doing everything. Do you see what I'm saying, guys? Is there anything in your life? Is it a marriage? Is it your health? Is it a goal? Is it a dream? Is it a ministry? If you're not confident about it, you're never going to see it. You're going to do this through life, the rest of your life. And guys, I've coached enough women. More women do this than do this. Okay, I'm just being honest. More women do this than do this. You get to decide. It totally comes down to the individual. And so here is this daddy saying to his son, to be confident, be determined, start the work and don't let anything stop you. Man, this is good stuff. Sometimes we don't even know how good the Bible is. It's so good. Do you see what he says? Start the work and don't let anything stop you. The Lord God whom I serve will be with you. He will not abandon you, but he will stay with you until you finish the work and to be done on his temple. That's some good instruction. Amen. Have you left your kids some good instruction? Do they see that you're confident? Do they see, I want to be like my... Solomon could step into those shoes because his dad gave them to him. Because his dad raised him up. Because he says, you're going to build that temple. You're going to do it with confidence. And I just think, guys, we've got to pour into the next generation or we don't have a country. We don't have family. We don't have a legacy. It can start with you in believing it. I want to walk through your notes with you really quickly before our time is up. Okay. All right. Really quickly. In 3 minutes. Okay, first of all, realize instruction is for your benefit. Listen, instruction is for your benefit. How many times have you tried to start something and you go, look, I don't know what I think about that. You have to be willing to receive someone to speak into you. You have to say, and people know now, this recently, I've said, would you speak into me? Any of you know Elizabeth Elliott? With the Aka Indians, beautiful woman, husband was, you know, crazy story, killed by the cannibals that they went to minister to. She's an amazing woman. And I'll never forget one day, I just thought, I want to be like her and I want to know her. I did everything I could to find her phone number, and I'll never forget the day I called her. And I just said, I'm a little preacher's wife in Denver, Colorado, and your story has impacted me. Would you just speak into me? And for months, we had a conversation calling back and forth, and she just gave me words and she just spoke into me because I want smart people to speak into me. I want to be a woman that people look at and they go, she knows Jesus. She walks with Jesus. She's consistent with her walk. She doesn't talk about people. She believes in me. If I don't know what I want people to say about me, they're never going to say it about me. Do you know what you want people to say about you? Write down 3 or 4 things that you want people to say about you, then start acting that way. It's not really rocket science, but it's good coaching. Do you know what I'm saying? If you want to be known for that, then be that. Okay, so that's some good stuff. Listen, instruction is the foundation on which you will build your life. Speak into, if you got a good word for me, man, tell me, or rather text me, all right? Okay, it will help lead and guide your steps. It is the roadmap for your success. You have to be willing to let people speak into you and tell you what they see. So we can go more into that. There's some scriptures. You can look at your outline, but I want to get to a couple points. Next, follow through with what you have heard. Follow through with what you've heard. Progress does not happen by simply hearing instruction. You must take a step forward in action. Does that make sense? Solomon could have listened to his father and never built the temple. When someone says something to me, to be honest with you, I take what you say to me, I take it to God, I take it through the filter of the Holy Spirit, and I say, is there something I need to hear here? If I'm hearing a similar thing over and over that people are saying to me, wasn't long ago, and I probably had many people just saying, gosh, Tammy, how are you doing everything you're doing? Aren't you tired? You know what that made me think? I'm doing too much, because too many people are telling me this, and I'm going to burn out. I was wise enough to know I've got to put into my life some rest. I've got to put into my life some relaxation. I've got to put into my life, do you hear what I'm saying? If somebody's saying something to you over and over and over again, listen to instruction, okay? And I've given you scriptures. I want you to look over those scriptures. And next, number three, set an example for others to follow. Listen, legacy is passed on to those that value our influence in their lives. You will leave an example for the next generation, but it's up to you. So I want you to know that if I see something, and I really have the right to speak into my staff, and I'll tell them things. I'll say to Jessica something, or I'll say to Ashley something. I'll say things to our staff, the other Jessica, right? I speak into them, and I watch them listen. Ashley said it today. She says, Tammy, I've learned course correction. I've never even heard that. Nobody's ever shared that with me. And all of a sudden, I'm finding myself doing course correction because you've taught me how to do that. My job is to instruct my staff on how to do that, instruct you how to do that, and you instruct your family how to do that. But I want to give you, because I think, and there's all these verses I want you to read through them, but I've got to do the three applications before we finish because they're too good. Number one, God has provided the resources for our growth through others. I have to have people speak into me, and I have to speak into others. Does that make sense? Who's speaking into you? Who have you given permission to? And everyone should have a couple people that you really know have wise counsel. Not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. That makes sense? And you trust them. I'm going to throw a few names out. Cynthia. I love Cynthia. Cynthia will look at somebody and tell them what they need to hear, but she does it in with such a loving heart that you receive it. So when she says you need to lose weight, I listen. All right? Do you see what I'm saying? There are people who I've watched and I value them because I know they love me. They're not trying to change me. They're trying to love me. Does that make sense? And instruction will help you with that. Number two, this is really good. To receive instruction, you must be fat. Woo-hoo! Whoa, whoa, girlfriend. Have you guys told you guys a story about being fat? Some of you heard this. And when I was in the eighth grade and I felt God call me to be a pastor's wife. And it wasn't just because I thought the pastor's son was cute, which I ended up being engaged to him before Pastor Phil. But that's a whole nother fun story. But I sat down with our pastor's wife and I said, what does it take to be a good pastor's wife? I'll never forget in the eighth grade, almost 16 years old. And she looked at me, she says, honey, you need to be fat. Well, she was the skinniest little twiggy. This was during the late 60s. She was this cute little bun on top bare, you know, and she wore a mini skirt. And I used to think, if you could be a Christian, you know, and love God, I think I could be one too. Because she was so cute, you know. I've told you guys this before. All the other wives in the church didn't like her because she was so cute. And everybody was jealous of her. She was the cutest thing. Sandy Collins, I'll never forget her name. And she looked at me, she said, honey, you got to be fat. And I want to be anything but fat. And she looked at me and she said, you've got to be faithful to yourself, available to others, and teachable at all times. You got to be faithful to yourself. Now stop right there. You got to be faithful to you. You need to take care of yourself, girlfriend. I love you all, but some of you aren't taking care of yourself. You're not loving yourself. you're not eating right or praying enough, or I don't even need to know. Holy Spirit's so good, he whispers. You tell him. You tell him. I don't need to. I don't mad at me. But you know what I mean? Faithful to you. Putting people around you that love you and challenge you and encourage you and don't let you have pity parties and don't let you complain and tell you where you need to be because they love you. Be faithful to you. Then be available to others. Be there when they need you. Have someone you're pouring into and you're encouraging and you're leaving a legacy. And then the why I put this in here, be teachable at all times. Don't ever think that you don't have something to learn. All of us in here have something to learn. That's why we're a family. That's why we're a body. That's why we're women of influence. We're here for each other. I want you to always believe that I'm safe. You can trust me. I have to prove that to you, and I believe I'm doing that. I hope you feel I'm doing that. I love you, and I will champion you. But I'm telling you what, I can't fix you. Only God can. But the truth is, he can. He can. If you take the instructions that David left for his son Solomon, good word, go through that passage. It's on your paper. Read through it. Circle some words. Be diligent. Be committed. Be focused. Make a decision you're going to do something with your life, guys, and receive instruction. I'm just curious, how many in here feel that you really have somebody in your life that's honest enough to tell you what you need to hear? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's most of you. Good, good. I hope you're listening. Ultimately, and I had a couple points, I don't think I finished here. I thought this was really good, but make sure that as you receive instruction, that you take it to the Father. Okay? And that you have it bears witness in your spirit, okay? Because honestly, someone will come to me and just be heartbroken over something someone said, and it was someone who was either jealous or angry or intimidated or unkind. So listen, guys, weigh your words. Weigh the words that are spoken. I want to make sure I end with this. Because we're all, you know, Facebook is just social media, it can be so cruel. So before you receive instruction, make sure that you're really vetting it with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's a good way of putting it. Vet what's being said to you with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And then let Holy Spirit do what only He can do. Amen. Amen.